In times of struggle, we must remember those who carve their own path. Those who would rather charge in head first than stand idly by. Those who would rather grasp the nettle than tickle the forget-me-not. Those who are determined to make change in their world, even if it kills them and everyone they've ever met. They are the
Faces of Virtue!
Greetings and welcomes, listeners, to the first in a new Crowley Time mini-series, where Tom Crowley, speak to people who have found ways to improve their lives and the lives of those around them. Activists, volunteers, and entrepreneurs who have given something back and made a positive change. These are the faces of virtue, and you're going to meet four of them over the next 2 months during this brief hiatus from your regularly scheduled Crowley Time. Our first face of virtue is a man named Martin Bluington, who took pity on those less fortunate souls who can't afford to expand their horizons, and so decided to bring the horizon to them. Many thanks to Benjamin Partridge for putting us in touch with Martin. Hello, Martin.
Hello. Hello.
Hi there. Lovely to speak to you. Hi.
It's a pleasure to be speaking to you.
Now, Martin, I understand that you are providing a really transformative, life-changing service for people in your local area. First of all, where are you? Where do you live, Martin?
I live in Monmouthshire, on the border between Wales and England. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I'm very pleased that I've been put forward for this. Someone has recommended me to you. I don't necessarily think of myself as doing great things. I don't like to self-identify in that way, but it's nice that someone else thinks I'm doing something positive.
Well, I'm sure you're just being humble, Martin, honestly. I'm sure it sounds to me like what you've been doing is providing a great service and is really expanding people's horizons, which must be very dear to you. Are you someone who travels a lot?
No, I don't travel. And because travel is very expensive. And this is really at the crux of what I've been doing, is that I've always been very interested in foreign places, ever since school, you see. And I had a very influential teacher called Frau Gussmann. And Frau Gussmann was my German teacher, and she was half German herself. She was the daughter of a Nazi prisoner of war, you see.
Oh.
And he had been kept in a farm they turned into a sort of internment camp nearby.
And this was near to you?
I believe so. This was in Mid Wales, and right. He had been toiling away there. And the story goes that he was there toiling away, hoeing the fields and what have you, at the same time spouting all this Nazi rhetoric. And a local girl living in the village there, not only was she attracted by his glistening physique as he hoed the soil, she was also interested in his far-right politics. And this was something that she couldn't air herself in her own hometown because everyone was off fighting the Nazis, of course. But secretly, she thought these Nazis sound like my sort of people, right?
It's a classic star-crossed lover situation. You've got a girl of the valleys and an Aryan supremacist trapped in a prisoner of war camp and the obvious clash that occurs therein.
Exactly. The love that dare not speak its name. You know, she dare not tell anyone that she was in love with this fascist and that she was indeed herself a fascist. And so it was all very hush-hush, you know. And anyway, they would secretly meet. She would crawl through the barbed wire fence.
That is surprising. They're quite big on security in those prisoner of war camps, or is that just a common misconception?
Well, they're very big on they were very big on stopping people from getting out. And I think from what I can gather, they were so concerned about people getting out, they didn't really think very much about people getting in. And at least they're not, you know, trying to break them out, because of course, as long as they were in the camp, they were providing the fruity sex to the local right-wing women.
And I imagine that the right-wing women were also keeping them happy within the prisoner of war camp, in fact, so they felt less inclined to try and escape.
That's exactly it. You know, you've seen The Great Escape, That's obviously the other way around. That's British soldiers getting out of a German prisoner of war camp. But, you know, had the story been set in the camp that we're talking about, someone would have said, hello, chaps, why don't we, you know, ride a motorbike over the top of the barbed wire there? And they said, not on your Nelly, I'm sticking around because later tonight, Gwentlian's coming round. And, well, we're going to read Mein Kampf and really go at it. And that's what created Frau Guzman. Frau Guzman was born as a result of one of these fruity sex sessions. I'm not sure how comfortable she was. You know, this was well known amongst the schoolboys in my school. It was a local legend, really. You know, people would hear her mother and the Nazi officers for miles around, echoing through the valley.
Good Lord.
And so the moment of her conception was something of a public event. But I was always left with this impression from Frau Guzman of what a wonderful place Germany must be. It started a lifelong passion, really, for everything Teutonic.
Of course. Well, I mean, I imagine this must be almost legend to Frau Guzman, who was, her mother must have filled her head with all sorts of stories about the beauty of Germany and, you know, the fatherland, as it was known.
Well, in her case, father's land, because no one knew which one it was, you know. There were so many that had been through that particular tunnel, so to speak, that they were never sure who the father was. So, yes, the father's land, we used to joke, we were very cruel to her, very cruel.
So that means Guzman is her mother's maiden name.
That's right, yes. Gwentlian Guzman. Her own parenting is very interesting. Her father was himself a German in a World War I prisoner of war camp in the same location. And her mother was a real enthusiast for the Kaiser.
So Gwentlian stayed very much within the family trade of knocking off German prisoners of war.
Yes. In fact, when she was born, she was times were tough, of course, and instead of being laid down in a crib or a cradle, she was laid down inside one of those pointy helmets. You could drive their point into the ground and it would stay quite firm, you know.
But if you're on a tile or some sort of a lino, then you would have difficulty with that as a baby.
Oh, yes, she couldn't be taken to a swimming pool, no. A tiled swimming pool would be an absolute disaster in that case. But she was, yes, she was very happy in that helmet until the age of 7.
Anyway, we're getting bogged down in the details. So you have been inspired by this German teacher, the product of two generations of illegitimate and some might say treasonous fornication. And she has inspired you in your lessons, your German lessons, and teaching you all about the beauty of Germany itself and the German language. And how have you translated that into a sort of horizon broadening operation of your own?
Well, there are many people in this part of the world, and indeed across the United Kingdom, who cannot afford themselves to take the trip that every person longs to take, a trip to Germany. You know, there are many, especially young people, who leave school and they would like nothing more than to spend a gap year in the former East Germany or the former West Germany. And many is the time I've met a young lad or lass in enjoying their first pint at the pub at the age of 18, maybe collecting their A-level results, and saying, what's next? And they would say, well, my dearest wish is to spend some time in Dresden or Bremen. But of course, I can't afford it.
They are two of the top German destinations that I can think of, certainly two of the top five.
Absolutely. A young person going to Bremen, it will change everything about their outlook on life, really. Really?
I'm sure. But as you say, some people aren't able to afford the trip. I know that
very
certainly
few,
foreign holidays are not something that every family in this country can afford.
Very few people can save up and do the trip to Bremen. Very few.
So you decided to step in and make a change in these people's lives.
That's right. So I thought, what a goddamn shame, really, that this is this is not available to these people. They're good people, you know. And so I started a service where, for a small fee, I will come round to their abode, wherever they may live,
right,
and I will recreate the atmosphere of a German town in their own home.
Right, that's remarkable. Okay, so you're going to you make house calls, you make home visits, and you transform their very living space into the same experience as going to Germany.
Did you ever watch the television show Ground Force?
Yes, I did. Yes.
In that show, Alan Titchmarsh and his band of merry workmen there. And Charlie Titchmarsh, is that her name? No,
Charlie Dimmock, I believe.
Charlie Dimmock, of course. There are many nights, I'm sure, Alan has lain awake wishing she were Charlie Titchmarsh.
Charlie Titchmarsh, yes, yes.
In that show, they would send someone away on some kind of bogus errand. And in the meanwhile, they would revamp their garden. You'll remember this.
Yes.
And they would return some hours later and go, "What have you done? And they would normally be very happy with what had been created in their back space. And it's a very similar thing. A family member will collude to take away the person from their abode, maybe for a day or two. And given the amount of time, I will really be able to transform the inside of their home. And once they come in, some of them think they are in Bremen. They think they're having some sort of out-of-body experience.
My goodness. So they think they're off on a normal business strategizing weekend.
That's a good example.
Or they're having a minor surgical operation.
That's
maybe
right.
Maybe they've been anaesthetized for 2 days.
That's it. Often they will we will mix together those two experiences. We'll say, off you go. Your work has mandated that you have to do some team building exercises, which is usually creating a raft or something like that. And then during the rafting trip, we will somehow collude and make sure that they are knocked out by a branch.
A low stone bridge.
Yes, that's a fantastic idea, one that I will be putting into place. I've not thought of that, but a low stone bridge will really knock someone cold.
Well, you can have that, honestly, that's fine.
Thank you very much. And they will then come round maybe 2 or 3 days later, and they will feel dreadful, of course. But little do they know that at the end of an hour-long car journey, they're about to see their house transformed.
Incredible. So you've been in their house, you've been working in tandem with their family members, and you've created the experience of visiting Dresden or any similar German town.
Lübeck.
In their house. Now, what steps do you take to affect this this impression on them? How do you create the illusion?
Well, the thing that I must impress on you, first of all, is that I do a lot of research into what life in Germany is like.
Have you been to Germany?
No, of course not. I cannot afford the trip. Like many others, it is far too expensive for me to ever go to Germany.
Right.
And this really is the heart of why I want to give this experience to people, because I myself, after the fires of passion were stoked by Frau Guzman, have not been able to actually go to Germany myself. However, I have done a lot of research as to what it is like, and so I'm able to recreate Germany in this way. It began when I did it to myself.
Oh,
that's where this began, where I turned my own flat. I live in a small flat here.
You sent yourself on a business retreat. You collided with a branch. You were anaesthetized for 2 days.
Minor
surgery was done on you. And then you came up from that and returned home to find that you had transformed.
Well, that was the problem. So the first time I did it, obviously off on the raft, knocked myself out. I was actually alone. So I then slumped into the water, floated downstream several miles, I was pulled out near Bristol. I didn't know who I was. I didn't know what my name was. It took a 6 to 8 months for me to work out who I was. Then I remembered, bloody hell, I'm Martin.
Hang on, so are you that guy who drew that really good picture of a piano?
Sorry?
The one they pulled out of the water and he couldn't speak or remember his name, but he drew a piano really well and eventually they worked out.
Yes, I came round, I could draw a piano, I could speak Chinese, all of these things.
Oh.
You know, this knock on the head had created incredible abilities. I could count, you know, if you dropped a box of pins, I could count them in seconds. And I could float above the ground as well.
And more importantly, you could recreate the impression of being in a German town, you discovered.
Well, that's the very problem. So I come round, I have this experience, I'm living in Bristol, I'm a local celebrity because I'm so good at drawing pianos. except I can speak Chinese. And then I realize, of course, you're Martin. All of those skills dissipate. I suddenly can't draw a piano for Toffee. But I get home and I open my front door and I walk in and I remember, of course, the whole point of this was that I would come back and my flat would be exactly like Germany. And then, of course, it dawned on me, it's exactly like it was before. It's just like my flat because I wasn't here transforming into Germany. I was rafting.
Right. So, but then you took further steps to,
I tried again.
Yes.
I tried. I got on the raft. I smashed into the branch. And again, it didn't work. Again, the same problem. And I think you can see what the problem is. But at the time,
you need to be in the building to transform the building into a German village.
Exactly. And if only you were with me back then, because you could have told me. And I tried again.
How many attempts
did
you
make? I can't remember. My brain's absolutely shot. But it was certainly into the double figures. Let's put it that way.
Have you retained any skills from your various concussions and strange foreign language syndromes? Can you speak any foreign languages or can you draw any musical instruments especially well now? Or is that all gone? Is it just really about recreating German towns now?
As you say, every time I got smacked over the head, I would be left with a sort of superhuman skill, you know.
Mm.
And it would be good for bets and things, you know. I'd be in a sort of dockside pub there in Bristol, and I'd say, you know what, I bet you £5 that I can call a falcon to my arm using just my voice.
Mm.
And they would say, well, of course you can't do that. And but it would have been one of my new little traits I'd picked up from the bang on the head. So of course, I would just walk out into the pub car park and
but you've lost that skill, I can tell, because
yes,
you just made that noise now, and I can't. I'm only calling you now on a sort of video calling software, and I can't see a falcon or any bird of prey in the frame.
Were this 10 years ago, and I made that noise, currently my window, I'd be hearing the smack, smack, smack of peregrine falcon after peregrine falcon smashing into the glass. But you're right, I have lost that ability, and I miss the birds every day.
I'm sure you do. But to the point, I mean, what I'd really like to focus on now is what do you do to these people's houses? Now that you've got over your knocking yourself out and developing strange skills and then losing them again, that cycle has completed itself. What are you doing to these places
to really
communicate the aspect of Germany?
So as I said, The first flat that this took place in was my own. And what I was able to do is I thought, it's okay just this once, not to have to surprise the client, because the client is myself.
Mm.
But what I'm going to do is I'm going to be blind drunk, you see. Because that way, when I wake up the following day, I will have forgotten all of the improvements I've made to the abode to make it more like Germany, and it will be a surprise, but through a different route, you see.
What was the result of that first drunken attempt? Were you satisfied with the results? Was it a strong attempt?
I woke up in my clothes, fully clothed on my bed, and my bedroom looked exactly the same as before.
Mm.
And so I thought, well, that's rather strange, but let's not worry about that. Let me open the door and go down the hall into my living room. And the living room was quite different.
Mm.
It smelled very strongly of piss. And there were three gentlemen sleeping on the couch there.
Three gentlemen?
Yes, three gentlemen.
Well, where did they come from?
I think normally they sleep under a bridge near the train station.
And this to you communicated a sort of beautiful Bavarian mountain town.
No. This had gone wrong once more, you see.
Oh, I see. This was a failed attempt. I see.
This was another failed attempt.
I'm sorry to hear that.
And actually, I realized after that that it was actually going to be impossible for me to do this to myself. And in that way, I've never sort of visited Germany, but I have been able to let others have the experience.
I mean, this is what this is all about. This series of investigation, the Faces of Virtue, is all about people who persist, who will take the slings and arrows of trying to make life better for themselves or others, and even if there's adversity, they will see it through.
Yes, well, it's made my life immeasurably worse. But for others, what I will do is they will go off on the rafting trip, and I will begin to Germanize the house.
Mm.
First of all, the salsa music will be played. So I will set up the...
Sorry, the salsa music.
The salsa music.
Okay.
So I will set up the speakers around the... They're sort of hidden, you know, so it just feels like the atmosphere is seeping through the walls.
Right.
Then, of course, I will have the German foods. The paella. I will cook the paella in a big, one of those big, very round, long, big, flat pans, big, juicy prawns and this sort of thing. So that will fill the flat then with the wonderful smells of Germany. Sort of
German aroma, yes, I see.
Yes. Then it's the furniture then, isn't it? It's the furniture.
Mm-hmm.
These people normally don't want their furniture to be destroyed or removed, so I will just leave things on the furniture that will give the impression that they are in Hamburg or Frankfurt or Cologne. You know, a sombrero, for example, left on the back of a door does a lot of work.
I can imagine it would. You said you've never been to Germany, isn't that right?
Only in my dreams, dear friend.
Right. Well, I mean, I think that is remarkable that you've gone to all these efforts, you've concussed yourself and probably caused yourself an immeasurable amount of brain damage.
Yes, the doctors say that it's like an acorn bouncing around inside a colander. That's what they that's what they said when they saw the scans.
What a colourful phrase. And you still, nonetheless, you persist in, and you provide this service to people free of charge just to help them.
No, I do. I can't afford to do this free of charge, dear friend. There are great costs. I mean, the cost of the fresh king prawns alone would bankrupt me.
Sorry, I was led to believe that this was a charitable service you were providing.
It is undoubted that the people benefit from it, but yes, they must bear the cost, I'm afraid.
But you're just charging them at cost. You're just charging them for the expenses you incur, the sombreros, the sort of the ingredients for the paella, all the very German things you provide. It's just at cost, is it?
Yes, the expensive king prawns, the sombrero, and of course, the greatest cost of all, my own time and my own labour costs do make up the majority of the overall price.
Well, that's not at cost. That's charging for your service as well. So you're charging for the service. I'm just trying to get a sense of. I just want to know how much does it set these people back?
There are various packages, of course, depending on the size of the property, deciding on what level of rafting experience they would like. You know, what sort of medical help they want to have on the other side of the concussion. You know, these are different costs, but I will. Our starter package for a small flat and for a very rudimentary rafting experience is about £1,500 to £1,700.
Well, someone who can pay £1,500 for you to fill their flat with various bits of sort of pan-European tat that you've accumulated.
For the basic package, yeah.
The basic package. And I'm assuming it runs much higher than that as well.
Well, yes.
At the upper end.
The upper end. I mean, it's limitless, really. It depends on
the
size.
Semi-detached house, three bedrooms, a front room and a separate kitchen dining room. I want top quality rafting and healthcare. How much is that going to set me back?
Well, I'd need to tot it up. It would depend on the weight, obviously, of the people.
Ballpark?
Let's say that they are an average of 13 stone.
Yes, let's. Why not? Yes.
Well, for the whole family there, it's costing probably £10,000 to £15,000 for.
Well, I mean, that family could certainly afford to visit a real German town for less money than that, I'm sure.
No, that is nonsense. That's nonsense because, as you well know, to go to Germany, you will have to, of course, take a ferry or go on a plane. And these are very expensive modern modes of transport.
Well, I'm just looking up the listings now for flights leaving today.
Well, you're speaking to a travel agent, are you?
No, I'm on the internet, which is how, may I remind you, I'm speaking to you now through an internet connection.
Yes.
And it's telling me that I could fly to Berlin today on one of the cheaper airlines, not premium service, but I could get myself there for around £100.
Well... what you're looking at there, I would surmise, is that you would pay this internet company, was it £100?
Around £100. I mean, this one says 93, that one says 107.
Sure. You would pay this so-called internet company £100. And for the cost, they would say, okay, we'll pick you up and take you to the plane. Well,
they're not going to pick me up. I'm going to have to get to the airport. That's how airports work. Okay,
sure. We will meet you at the airport, and we just need to sign some contracts, they would say. And they would say, right, the contracts are just round here in this corner. And as soon as you rounded that corner, you would be hit on the head with a cosh, and you'd wake up in the same ward that many of the people who go rafting wake up in Southmead Hospital in Bristol. Very good sort of head trauma unit there. The difference being that my customers are then taken by ambulance to their own house, where they get the true German experience. You, however, are just now £100 lighter with a brain injury.
I think I haven't got anyone here now, but I just feel that I could very easily find plenty of people who've managed to get a taxi or a train to an airport and then flown to Germany.
Nonsense.
Without ever being coshed in the back of the head.
Millionaires.
Maybe less than £100.
Bristol Airport doesn't even have a runway.
Listen, I contacted you because I was under the impression that you provided, free of charge, a German experience to impoverished families who weren't able to afford foreign holidays. Now I find out that you're filling their homes with largely quite cheap Spanish regalia.
Sorry, I will stop you there. I assume you've never been to Germany.
No, well, I haven't, no.
Right. So how do you feel qualified to tell me that the work I do to transform people's homes into a German experience is in some way inauthentic? And in fact, may I tell you that Frau Guzman, in her final days, came to one of the flats that I had kitted out, and I said, Frau Guzman, you have inspired me to do this. Have some paella. Sit down. This is your homeland. And she was in tears.
Well, I mean, I'm tempted to point out that Frau Guzman herself had also never been to Germany, and that isn't necessarily, as such, is not really a reliable witness. However, you have invoked the memory of a deceased woman, and as such, I have no choice but to accept your version of events, congratulate you on the service you provide, and end this interview.
Thank you very much. Auf Wiedersehen.
Danke schön for speaking to us today.
Danke.
I will admit that on learning the true nature of Martin's business, I was a little taken aback. But on reflection, who am I to judge a man who sees an unoccupied niche and, at great expense of time and cranial trauma, manages to fill it? We salute you, Martin Bluington, and we thank you for your efforts. I must only slightly grudgingly concede that you remain one of our faces of virtue. Once again, I'd like to thank Benjamin Partridge for putting us in touch with Martin. Ben is a writer and performer and the warped genius behind the Beef and Dairy Network podcast. If you haven't already heard it, I insist that you give it a try. It might be the funniest podcast ever produced. Top three, at least. You can find it on all good podcatchers and at beefanddairynetwork.com. You can also find Ben at his Twitter, @BenPartridge. I hope you've enjoyed this first edition of Faces of Virtue, a break from our usual Crowley Time format. Don't worry if you're missing the usual heady blend of scenes, sketches and characters. This interview program is a mere diversion, a tributary. We will return to our regularly scheduled program shortly after these four fortnightly episodes. To my many delightful Patreon supporters, don't worry, as these are not full Crowley Time episodes, I will not be charging you for them. Nonetheless, huge thanks for your continued support, and a great big welcome to the many new supporters who have joined up since the last episode. Your support has helped me enormously during this pandemic, which has proven to be absolutely lethal to huge swathes of the entertainment industry, so thank you from the bottom of my heart. I get to do the stupid I do because of you. If you'd like to sign up as a supporter in anticipation of further episodes of the main Crowley Time series, you can do so at patreon.com/CrowleyTime. And take advantage of all the bonus materials of times past! Now, subscribe to the show, leave it a nice review on your podcast platform of choice, and be sure to check back in 2 weeks to meet another one of our
Faces